Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdrastuytse. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawbona. In Senegal, nanga def. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
And Grand Rising, we are joining Dr. Debbie Green as we talk about losing your self-identity. You can be in a relationship in which you do not feel as if you can totally express yourself. Sometimes in our marriages, we may blend so much with the other person that we lose who we are. What does that feel like, and how is that harmful? Well, let's hear some words from Dr. Debbie Green and Soulful Solutions.
Anyone else, please understand that there's limits and there's boundaries. Those limits and boundaries will keep you safe, okay? They will keep you safe, because if you keep giving, 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 you have nothing for yourself. Do you not know this is one of the leading causes to depression and anxiety? It's when a person constantly gives to themselves, constantly gives to others, but then neglect they most rightfully need, and that's self-love, self-understanding, you know. We have to draw those property lines. That's what I said, property lines. Those property lines are there for a reason. You say, well, Dr. Deb, I don't know about that because I've been, you know, living in my family for so long, and it seems as though, you know, they expect me to do this. They expect me to be there for them, and I have been. And I'm tired of doing it. I'm tired of being the person that everybody calls. I'm tired of giving every time somebody asks me to give. Because when I need something, no one's there. Well, again, property lines. Property lines are those things in our life where we draw a line in the sand and say, okay, that's enough. I can't give anymore. And sometimes, like I said, the families are not going to understand. Your friends are not going to understand because they're so used to you giving them what they want. And sometimes you even get emotionally deceived or manipulated. And here comes the hurt. Here comes the pain. Here comes the difficulty of life. Well, again, you were born by yourself, and guess what? You're going to die by yourself, too, okay? And I said, not when I say die by yourself, I'm not saying you're not going to have support there. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that use your support system, yes, but take care of yourself. You can't lose yourself into other people's lives. You know, hear this. We all have a life pattern, okay? Our life pattern from the time you are born to the time you put your feet on this earth, you are learning, you are experiencing everything. And a lot of things that you are permeated even by somebody else's stuff. Like if you've ever been abused, if you've ever been in a place where you felt uncomfortable or if somebody ever told you you were worthless or somebody told you, you know, that you are not who you say you are, or, oh, you were bad, you didn't make good grades. I mean, I can go on and on. Okay, guess what? That's in the subconscious mind. And if you believe that, because guess what? When you were a child, you had no other choice but to believe it. You didn't know any better. So you believe that, and you started growing up with that same mindset. Well, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm not, you know, I'm a failure. Maybe I'm this and maybe I'm that. And the minute you fail, the minute something go right, you believed it to the highest intensity. Now, it has changed your being. So that self-identity that was there, you say, who am I? You know, am I this person that failed life? Am I this person that failed me? Am I this person that failed mama, sister, brother? Who am I before all of that happened? Well, our creator, our higher power, our source, the divine one, created us independently. You see this right here? This is a thumbprint. No one in the world has your thumbprint. That's how valuable you are. That's how unique you are. He took the time and carved you into this beautiful person. It doesn't matter where you came from or who your parents are or any of that, how much money you have or any of those things. What's valuable is that you know your value. You know your worth. And a lot of times we get so caught up, we forget about how worthy we are to this thing called life. And we're looking for love in all the wrong places. Let's see. Somebody got some comments up here. Let's see who's on here today. Good morning, my sister. Okay, from Calaberry, from Atlanta, South Carolina. Good morning. Good morning, Miss Lenora Bailey. Good morning. Amen. Yes, honey. Yes. find out the truth. We got to seek the truth, y'all, because I'm telling you, if we don't know who we are, then how are we going to live? How are we going to live in this thing called life and we still trying to figure it out over and over again? You know, people, they live for other people. Oh, I have to, you know, I have this man. You know, he's my husband or he's my boyfriend. He's my significant other. I got to make sure he happy with me. I got to change the way I dress. I got to change the way, oh, my God. If a person don't accept you for you, let me tell you something. You need to tell that person, look here, I'm going to be me, okay? I may not be the prettiest one, hallelujah. I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, as they say. But guess what? I'm going to be me. Because God created me to be me, okay? And that's enough. That's enough. Good morning, my sister Maria Hunter. I see you. Come on in the house, girlfriend. Because we're talking about the true self. The true self. The true self. The true self is the one that no one can take away from you. Nobody can drag it away, move it away, tear it away, because it's underneath all that stuff that you experience in life. Do you know you've been impacted? Hallelujah. You've been impacted. You've been impacted by people's choices, impacted by people's moves, behaviors, actions. You've been impacted. And when we are impacted, then don't you know we change? This flesh, it can't stand but so much. You know? It can't stand but so much. It cannot. It's like if you hit it too hard, it's going to turn different colors. But what does that tell you? You're going to get sore because it's impacted by whatever's coming from the outside in. But hear this. Build your barrier. Huh? Build your property lines. So you don't get hurt emotionally, and you don't get hurt even spiritually. You don't get hurt physically, you know, mentally. Build your property line. This is what this means. When you build a property line, you are telling a person, place, or thing, it doesn't matter what it is, I cannot give you all of me. I love you, but I can't give you all of me. I care for you, but I cannot give you all of me because if I do, then I have nothing for myself. Don't you know we have what is called a spiritual reservoir? Now, let me break this down for you. Every human being is born with 100% of themselves. That's what I said. 100% of yourself, okay? So if you're born with 100% of yourself, as time goes on, you start giving pieces of yourself to other things. People, places, and things. You start giving, and some of these things you're not getting back now, okay? Please understand. When you release it, you're not getting it back. Sometimes you do. Some people know how to love, okay? Let's be fair. There's some people out there that know how to give love and receive love, but then there's a lot of people who do not, okay? And now Dr. Dev said, don't get mad now. Don't get mad because somebody can't give you the love you give them because truth be told, we're not supposed to be looking for love back anyway. When you give your love, you give it out of a heart of a cheerful disposition. Understand what I'm saying to you? Which means that if you don't get the 100% that you gave, it's a good chance that person doesn't know how to give love back to you. Don't know the capacity to give love. So they might have given you 30% or 40% or whatever the case may be. And you're like, well, I don't understand because I gave you 100% of me. Why can't you give me 100% of you? Do you know how difficult that is to get even exchange of love? Let's see what my sister Colin Berry said. Knowing our personal identity is a vital for a productive life. Yes, ma'am. Because guess what? If you don't know where you are, anybody can bamboozle you. They can hoodwink you. They can lead you astray. Okay, they can divert you. They can distract you. I can go on and on with that story right there. And then they can keep you in that place. This is how people lose their ability to make conscious decisions to stay in a relationship. relationship or to get out of one. That's unhealthy, that is. Okay? An unhealthy relationship can keep you in a posture because if you don't know how to set your boundaries and property lines and your limits, you would let people do you any kind of way. People only treat you the way you allow them to treat you. And then once you start letting them treat you any kind of way, then you're like, oh, I've been in this relationship 20 years. Lord have mercy. I'm so tired of going through these changes. Wait a minute. Ain't nobody forcing you to be there. No one is forcing you to be there. What it is that you feel you obligated to be there. Okay? And you don't want to deal with the repercussions and circumstances once you step out the picture. That's what the deal is. Let's keep it real now. Okay? You got to have strength when you deal with relationships. You got to have courage when you deal with relationships because what happens is all relationships are not healthy, and you're going to know they're not healthy. You're going to identify it. You're going to say, oh, wait a minute, this ain't right. I don't like the way you talk to me. I don't like the way you treat me. Okay, here comes another situation of the same person doing the same thing. And you're still saying the same thing, but guess what? You ain't telling them nothing. You may look at them a little hard, you know. You may say little innuendos, but instead you say, wait a minute, you're not going to disrespect me. And I think we have a problem. It's not a you and I, because I can clearly see you don't think the way I think, because you ain't treating me with the respect I treat you. So what is the problem? It's a big problem, don't you see? It's a huge problem because this is what happens. People constantly go through these same patterns over and over and over again, leading to depression, leading to anxiety, leading to sickness. Don't you know a person can harass you so much you get sick? Your stomach starts to be in knots. Your head starts to hurt. I mean, your blood pressure started to rise. Yes, you didn't know that? Yes, you will get sick. But before all that happened, Dr. Dev don't want all that to happen to you. Mm-hmm. She don't want you in that particular situation. No, she don't want that. So what should you do? Identify. Let's take some steps in. Let me take this step in, because see, my throat can dry a little bit hard. You got to identify with something. What is the real reason why you're in that relationship that is not very good for you? Are you a caretaker? Because some people are caretakers, right? Which means that you may be a caretaker to someone that may be a little bitter or something. You know, you may be taking care of a mother or a brother or a sister or somebody. You know, caregivers get old. It's hard. It's hard to be a caretaker of a person that is bitter. And if you've ever been there, you know what I mean. You see what I'm saying? So if that is the case, then you need what they call respite care. That means you got to take a moment and get away, all right? Find someone or even hire someone to come in and give you a break. Oh, yeah, that's what I said. Get away. Get away for a while. And, you know, you can't take it personally because, you know, sometimes if it's an older person or a person that is dealing with some kind of illness that looks like it's chronic and it may not be getting better, then it's hard on you. You know, it's hard on them too. So the goal is to just, you know, get yourself together so you can get a break and you don't have to be so overly emotional. Now, if you're also in a situation where you're in a relationship that's just not healthy, okay? And that could be in a family relationship, dealing with children, dealing with a spouse or whatever, you know, and that person is not sick and they're just doing things and expecting you to do so much for them, you know, over and over again, and you're really trying to get away from the situation. Oh, no, you need to pull them to the side. I don't care if you've been doing it for 5, 10, whatever years. That's enough because you're destroying yourself. You are hurting yourself, and you are neglecting yourself. The self-identity that was there is no longer there. It actually is entangled into this relationship. So the goal is to come out of that. Sometimes we have to pull a person to the side, you know, well, we got this. Is this a good time to talk? And you just let them know, is this a good time to talk? Because I think we have an issue. We had an issue for some time, but this is really becoming a problem with me because I see that my health is failing, and I feel that I'm injured by this relationship. And they may look at you, what are you talking about? I did nothing to you, you know? And a lot of times people don't often come and say, well, you know, oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that happened to you. Can we get, you may not hear that, okay? You may hear something other than that. So what you will say is that I understand that you may not see it the way I see it, but I'm just letting you know this can no longer go on. And I want this relationship. I love you. I care about you. But I can't allow this situation to go on any longer. So we got to break ties with this. This can't go on. Now, if you want this relationship, then we need to understand each other and we need to sit down and talk and come up with a medium ground where we can get along. But I cannot let you batter me with your words. I cannot let you tear me apart with your actions or your behaviors. No more. That's enough. That's enough of that. And you got to be brave enough to say that to them now. You know, don't say, you know, well, I'm afraid, I hope they change. Sometimes, yes, prayer is powerful. But sometimes God is waiting for you just to say something. Have it ever dawned on you? You know? Have it ever dawned on you that he's waiting for you to say something and not allowing those things to keep happening over and over again? And just, you know, say what you have to say, say your piece, and be done with it. And just move on. And believe me, you get more respect out of people when you start setting property lines. And some of them will get angry. Some may not talk to you for a period of time. And it's okay. But guess what? Don't worry about it. At some given point in life, they got to come back. They have to come back at some given point in life. And don't you feel guilty. Do not feel guilty at all. Do not feel shameful or remorseful because you got to take care of yourself. You know, if you don't take care of you, who's going to do that? Who's going to take care of you if you don't take care of you? See, this is the thing about this is that we're always looking for someone else to fill our broken parts. Yes, I said that. We're always looking for someone to fill our broken parts. No, baby, you got to fill your own broken parts. Ain't nobody know what you're going through. Nobody looked a day through your eyes or walked a day in your shoes. I don't care how close they are. They could be laying next to you in bed. They still don't know. You know why? Because you and you. Certain things you got going on inside you, certain things that's happening in you, we don't share everything with everybody. Huh? We don't share it with everybody, but the goal is this. When you take the time and look at yourself with a microscopic lens, that's what I say, closely. I'm talking about inside now. I ain't talking about just look at yourself and all, oh, yeah, good morning, gorgeous. Hey, yeah, you're beautiful inside and out. But what I'm saying is look at the inside of you and ask yourself, where am I broken? Where am I broken? Where am I broken? What am I losing in life? What's not completed in me? Let's see. I got some Facebook people that's getting ready. Oh, who that is. Thank you, Miss Lenora Bailey. I'm your friend. I'm trying to say, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Who is this? This is Queen Zelda. Queen Zelda, Grand Rising, beautiful Queen Sisters. You got another comment down there, too. What did you say? Yes, stop looking on outside and look inside. That's when real love begins. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It is true to be told. When one takes the opportunity and the time to take every little area serious about yourself, then that's when you can really accept you. That's all. We all just want to be loved. You know, that's all. We want to be cuddled. You know, you might not have got that from mama. You know what I'm saying? Mama might not have held you and told you how wonderful you are. And she thought you was the most beautiful. You may not have got that from grandmother or even from daddy. You know what I'm saying? So we start looking for that thing. We start looking for that thing. We look for it in people. We look for it in dogs, cats. Honey, we look for it all over the world. Oh, but let me tell you what the true love is, huh? The true love is inside of you. You know why? God put it there because he didn't want you to lose it. Yes, sister child, it's inside of you. How you able to give all that love you give to your family, huh? How you think where did you think it came from? It came out your reservoir of your 100%. Of your 100%. Oh, you share it now. You share it. You giving and you sharing. But wait a minute now. See, it's the rule of thumb. You can only give 50. So if you've been giving 100, you got to pull back a little bit. You got to build up that reservoir now. If you've been giving 100, you know, you've been giving all yourself to everybody else. You got to let them know, hey, you know, Sophia home now, y'all. Sophia home now. Look here. I can't give y'all all raw parts of me no more, okay? I can't do that. I can't give you all of me anymore. Yeah, I'll be there for you, okay? I'll be there for you. I'll listen to you. But look here, I can't stop what I'm doing. Every single moment, you looking for me to fulfill your broken parts. I can't do it. I can't fulfill your broken parts. Only you can mend yourself back together again. Isn't that beautiful? Just take your time now. Look here. Ain't no rush. Ain't no rush to do it. Ain't no rush to do it. Take your time. Well, I see my wonderful sister in the Wayne back here. Sister Latif is in the house. Naima Latifah, that is. Okay. I thank the producer. Here she is. Look at that. Watch the smile. Hey. Hey,
no,
I understand. You ain't
got to
tell me
about
sleep.
You know how it is.
I was just talking to these beautiful women that have joined me this morning about this true thing called true self and self-identity. And as we know, we don't want to lose ourselves into nobody else's world because it's so easy. It's so easy to lose ourselves. Somebody else's world.
Yes, it is.
You know, I was just giving them the steps. You know, the steps is identifying. First, identify your broken parts. When you identify where you were broken, it might have happened to you a long time ago. You know, in your early childhood years or your young adult years or whatever the case is, and you identify, okay, where did I lose me at? You know, I mean, be like Hansel and Gretel. You know, we ain't left no little bits of stuff along the way. But sometimes we got to know how to connect the dots. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
When we connect those dots, then we'll be able to say, okay, I lost myself when my mother didn't love me the way she should have. I lost myself when I was abused as a child. I lost myself when I went through a crisis when I lost, you know, my father. I lost myself.
Oh, yeah.
And so these things happen.
Yes,
and so now self-identity is what they call impacted. It's impacted. And then we're still trying to figure it out. Don't you know, we grown folks. Okay, we're like, wait a minute. What was I supposed to be doing? Now, I know I got purpose, but really what it is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we go through that.
We go through that. And it's a growth process.
Yes.
To get to the point of realization. Well, we got to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk further because, you know, the Creator is always guiding us, and I know that this show has special significance for me today. So we'll be back to share more. So if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. That's 515-605-9325. And press 1 when you're ready to speak. And if you're on our switchboard now and have a thought you'd like to share, press 1, that'll light your number up, and we'll open your mic and get your thoughts. So we'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses. And we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
But I tell you, yesterday, I had a very painful argument with someone close to me.
Okay.
And I didn't really argue back. They did all the talking, and they were very angry. But over time, we've had very angry exchanges. And it finally occurred to me, they're responding to something inside of them. It really has nothing to do with me. Just like when I'm angry at them, I'm responding to something inside of me. It really has nothing to do with them. It's the belief that someone else's intentions against you are negative that you respond to, and you become angry because of what you believe they intended to do to you. When you believe they intended to hurt you, you're responding with anger because of your belief in their intention.
Uh-huh.
And that idea is planted somewhere in your life, like you mentioned, parents that may not have been kind or loving or encouraging. And so they planted the seed of hurt inside of you.
Uh-huh.
And when someone else in your life says or does something that triggers that memory of hurt, you respond to them as if they intended to hurt you the way you had been hurt earlier in childhood. And that's where so many of our painful relationships come from. And sometimes, if we're in a relationship with someone who keeps triggering that feeling that we had in childhood, we'll stay there because we're trying to fix that wound that was created in childhood. And you can't fix it with that other person. You have to fix it inside yourself.
Correct. Correct. And it's so important. And see, you got to have self-awareness of that. So that individual, like you said, you know, having a confrontation, you know, and having a disagree to disagree. I mean, from I'm speaking from that platform, from her or him, whoever it was, platform. So if they're disagreeing with you, and you're like, you're trying to explain to them, you know, or trying to get a point across, and they just don't see your point.
Yeah, can't see it.
That, no matter what.
No matter what.
Okay, from their lens of life.
Right.
Everybody has lenses of life, their view of life. You know, saying they may not be able to comprehend what it is, and you have someone that's knowingly and unknowingly, like, I know even what you're saying, but I don't want to hear it, mm-hmm. or I really don't know what you're saying, and I don't know how to respond. It's going to be one of those two ways.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever's inside of that person, remember, it's going to come out in some kind of way.
Yeah.
It's going to come out in actions, verbal, you know, behavior, whatever, because it has to come out, because these are issues of the heart.
Yeah.
Issues of the heart cannot be hidden.
Yeah.
No matter how much a person tries to hide them, they cannot be hidden. They're going to come out. They can be stuffed, which is what we call stuff, which is suppression. You know, we can regress, which is hold it back, but believe whatever is done in the dark shall, you know, come to light. That's just the way it is. So we run through these, you know, scenarios in our life with repercussions, circumstances, you know, situations and consequences. So here we are. We are impacted. So guess what happened? You were impacted by that person.
Yeah.
This is what I mean. When I'm saying the self-identity was impacted. You are not who they say you are.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Was their perception of who they think you are.
Right.
You know, but it still impacted you. So when we are impacted, Naima, something literally, it's like, and how can I explain it? It's like an invisible force that's like, boom, you know, and it keeps hitting our being.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it bothers us. For, you know, first we feel it emotionally. And even when we try to refrain from it, we still feel it because we're human.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So we feel it emotionally, and then we get to a point where, okay, now what do I do with this? You know, what do I do with this feeling? You know, I don't like this feeling. Either I'm going to tell the person I don't like it, or I'm just going to act like, okay, it's not there.
Right, try to ignore it.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, yeah. Again, this is how the self-identity gets, you know, overwhelmed. We get overwhelmed in it. And here comes another situation you know what I'm saying, that's impacting us the same way. And, you know, we end up in these cycles. Because, like I said, that's not your stuff. That's theirs.
Right.
If they don't understand where you're coming from, it's okay.
Yeah.
We agree to disagree all day long, but people get angry when we don't think the way they want us to think.
Yeah. Yeah.
They get angry.
They get angry, you know.
And angry. Not frustrated, angry.
Yeah, angry. And, I mean, you can handle it one of two ways. You can just you can just decide to agree with everything they say or agree to accept blame for everything that goes wrong, just agree you're always wrong. You can just, you know, suppress your own feelings. Oh, you're right, I'm wrong. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. Oh, I'm wrong. Oh, yeah, you're right, I'm wrong. You can do that to keep the peace, but what does that do to your sense of self over time? And it doesn't help them develop more understanding. It just makes them more opinionated, more obstinate.
Because they're going to keep doing the same thing to you.
They're going to keep doing the same thing, right?
Keep saying what they want you to say.
Right, right.
Again, you know, we go back, you lose yourself.
You lose yourself.
Who are you?
Right, right.
Are you the person? You living with their life. You living what they want. You no longer living what you want.
Right, and Can you feel satisfaction? Oh, well, you know, at least I held on to my relationship. Yes, but did you hold on to yourself?
Nah. That is not a healthy relationship. You're telling yourself a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
That's what that is. How can you be in a relationship that you know that's dysfunctional and you're looking at it because you just want to hold on to it? And then you have to ask yourself, because then it goes back to self. What is it fulfilling in me when it's unhealthy?
Right. Why am I choosing this? Why am I choosing to stay in something that is unhealthy? Believing that I can change another person? Well, you can't change somebody else. They're what they are. They're reacting to whatever's happened in their life. You can't fix what happened in their life because it already happened. It's already inside of them. So
exactly.
Why are you choosing to stay in a situation that you can't change because it's inside of them? And their behavior toward you is something that's hurting you. Why are you choosing to remain in a state of hurt?
So who's hurting who?
You hurt yourself.
Exactly. So the dagger's in your heart.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's going to stay there. It's going to keep. You're going to find yourself keep doing it over and over again and again. Well, as you know, this leads to different things because one cannot constantly be hurt and not affect the rest of the being.
Right. Right. Eventually, it actually will affect the cells in your body.
Everything.
You know, and I woke up this morning, and the energy of that argument, I felt it in the cells of my body. And I said, this is not good.
Uh-oh.
You know, because then it eventually manifests as a physical illness.
Oh, it will.
Yeah.
It will if it's a continuance.
Yeah.
See, just like anything, you know, when you want something to heal, you don't keep putting pressure on it.
Right, right.
No, you have to move
away from the pressure.
You
keep walking
stress.
On it. Yeah.
That's just like having a cut that you keep pounding. And
then
1 minute you put a Band-Aid on, but then you allow it to keep pounding again. No, you can't do that.
Right.
That's not.
Right.
So, let's look at this a little closely. You have these situations like this more often than most. And usually it's when we are involved with someone that we care about, okay? And that person doesn't understand the obligation to us as an individual. When I say obligation, it's just like, no, you don't live for me and I don't live for you. Let's get out of the way. The obligation is that you respect me because I'm respecting you.
Right.
So if you are no longer respecting me in your actions, your behaviors, your words, if I feel that any type of stressors, pressure, uneasiness that's coming towards me, okay, I have to ask myself, okay, so why are you feeling uneasy? Is it because you hear what you're hearing, or is it because you're responding or reacting?
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
And usually the response or the reaction is to a perception of what you believe the other person is doing and what that means.
Right. That is a fact. That is a fact. But the other fact is this. How do they know how to put the button that's inside of you if that button was already created?
Right. The button was already there.
That button was created.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, when was it created?
Right.
But most of all, how long it's been there?
Yes, that's right. Could have been there a lifelong situation, you know,
you see,
way
so
back.
This is how the true self gets impacted.
Yeah.
And when now we evolve into these relationships, because we were talking about earlier, we were talking about caregivers, caretakers, people who are in relationships with families that are entangled in codependency. But truth be told, it is a codependent relationship when I only live for you. And
yeah.
I got to keep you happy.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Where is that written down?
Yeah.
That ain't no law. Neither is there a regulation or a rule. I cannot keep you happy just by saying yes to you all the time. Even if I'm affected inside, I have to acknowledge what I am doing as a, what they call an adult, but most of all, as a human being. You know what I'm saying? Okay, why am I allowing you to do this? Okay, and if I am allowing this, then why am I not stopping you?
Right. Why am I not stopping you?
Yeah, I care for you, but I don't care for you to
to my detriment.
Put my heart down there for you to step on.
Right.
No. You ain't about to step all over me. I can't allow that. Let me draw this. Let me get my invisible marker and draw this property line.
Well, you know,
okay.
you also mentioned situations where you're a caregiver for someone who may be bitter, mean, rude, abusive, and you feel obligated to take the abuse because you're giving care. And yet, just because they may be bedridden, invalid, in pain, or whatever the case may be, they still don't have a right to abuse you, and you're not obligated to take it. But a lot of times, those become those relationships when people either, you know, take care of a family member or if it's their job or whatever the case may be. But no one has the right to abuse you, no matter what their condition is.
Correct.
But sometimes people take it, and it does affects them physically over time because they've been swallowing the anger, they've been swallowing the hurt, they've been, I guess, guilted into believing that they must accept this treatment because it's a loved one, whether it's a parent or even a child or, you know, another relative or whatever the case may be. And you're trying to be compassionate to someone who's basically treating you badly.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, you have to acknowledge that this is what's happening and why am I allowing it? They don't have a right. I don't care what they're going through. They don't have a right to abuse me.
Right. Absolutely not. And that's why I was saying that if that person, especially if you're dealing with a person that's terminally ill or chronically sick, and they are on a, what they call a mindset of just bitterness.
Yes.
They're just bitter.
Yes.
And, you know, you have to have respite care.
Respite
care is like, let me get away for a moment and move on so I can gain my, you know, help me gain my posture back in life. So, because, you know, when you're constantly in that situation, it does change the way you think. It changes the way you feel, even about yourself. It changes everything because remember what you just said. You know, I felt as every part of my body, my cellular structure felt what I went through.
Yeah.
Okay, because we're all porous.
Yeah.
Everything flows through this body. It flows through this mind. It flows through this heart, even in the spirit. It flows through. So anytime we get disappointed, anytime we go through a hardship, anytime we a difficulty, crisis, whatever it may be, confrontation, we are impacted. We are impacted. So how should one deal with this? Well, first you got to acknowledge that you was hit.
Yeah.
It's
like a punch to the gut. You know, you
okay?
Feel that. It's a hit. Yeah.
You took a hit.
Yeah.
It's all right. You know, don't make pretend like it's not there. You're not weak. You're not, you know, this person that is falling apart or whatever. No, you took a hit in life. When you take that hit, then it's up to you because guess what? This ain't the first hit you took, okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, you should feel like you're a victim or, oh, something wrong with me. No, it's nothing. No, it happened.
Right.
It happened. The goal is to control control what happens to you. You can't control what other people are doing or saying. And if you constantly see yourself, like you say, going back and forth with a person, okay, it's time to do some stuff with, you know, introspection
yeah.
now.
Yeah, why
okay,
is this happening?
Okay, wait a minute. No, we ain't about to argue every time I talk with you.
Yes.
No, maybe this is not healthy for us, no.
Yeah.
Then we need some time.
Then we need
apart.
To stop talking for a long time until we reflect.
Yeah, yeah.
Decide,
and
okay.
needed, you know, I care yeah. for you, but I need to give you some space.
Mm-hmm.
And you let them know, I care for you, but I need to give you some space because I don't want to bring hardship to you and I don't want you to bring hardship to me.
I don't know.
And I think that that's happening here because we are in this turmoil relationship.
Yeah. I mean,
so what happened? We didn't start off this way.
What happened? I mean, it's like if you are in a car wreck, you know. Somebody slams against your car, and you might get out a little shaken up, you know, okay, no broken bones, everything, I'm fine, but you're really not, and they want you to go to the doctor and get a checkup. You might have whiplash that manifests later and, you know, other parts of your body that might have been jolted. So you might think you're okay, but you're really not. You know, when you take a hit, it has an impact. And so when you've had an intense emotional exchange with someone, it's like you took a hit, and you might walk away from it and say, oh, well, I'll just let it go. But it's still there. The impact is still there.
You're going to still feel it.
And you
feel it.
You're
going to feel it, and it's going to affect you
yes.
in some kind of way. Self-awareness is extremely important in that. Like, you know, this did affect my heart. And you need to tell yourself that this did affect my heart.
Yeah.
I was affected by this.
Yeah.
You know, and I need to feel this pain. I don't want to ignore this pain.
Yeah, it's
let
there.
Me feel this. So I can release it and let it go. And even if that person still wants to be in my life, I can no longer be a part of that pain exchange. Okay?
Right.
Because that's what it is.
I can't be
that
a part of
that person exchanging pain to you. You're exchanging pain to them. No,
right.
no. We can't, no. We ain't going back and forth with this.
Right.
This has to stop. Now, you know, out of love, I draw you. And I tell you, know, when you get into confrontation with other people, it doesn't matter, family, friends, or whatever, you tell them, out of love, I draw you. I draw you out of love. Remember
mm-hmm.
when we first began
right.
this relationship?
Right.
Being with mama, sister, brother, friend, foe. Out of love, mm-hmm. I drew you out of love.
Right.
So how did we get here?
Yeah. And it all comes to something
happened?
That's inside that was triggered. But like
yeah,
you say, the
here?
Button was already there that they pushed because if it wasn't there, they wouldn't have been able to push it. It wouldn't have been there for them to push. So you have to look at what is inside of me that has been drawn out in this relationship and all the toxicity that we're experiencing. And
what is inside of them, too.
And what's inside
it's
of them.
Coming out of them.
Yes.
But it's inside of you because you're drawing from each other. You got to understand.
Yes.
This is an even exchange. Now,
yeah.
There's no one-sided coin here.
Yeah, we're drawing this out of each other. And
why? That's the issue.
Yeah.
The issue is, and why is it there? It's
why
something
it there?
That's inside that person as well as inside of you. It keeps the thing real. It keeps it going.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So, that's why one should have a discussion, open discussion of what they call correspondence of a situation other than thinking, oh, it's you or it's me. No, let's look at it from, let's sit it on the table
yeah.
and look at the patterns of it. How long did it happen? How often did it happen? What was the situation occurring around when it happened?
Right. And, you know.
Diagnosis.
Yeah, diagnosis. And, you know, the only way you can do that is if both parties have the intention of getting to the root of the problem. If the intention is I'm going to show you where you were wrong in every situation, then you can't because it's a blaming situation. You're not listening. You're trying to prove you're right. But you have to start out with neither one of us are wrong. What we're
right.
doing is reacting to what's inside of us. So let's figure out what is inside of us that keeps surfacing. But if either party has the desire either for vengeance, I'm going to hurt you the way you hurt me, or the desire to fix blame, I'm going to prove that I'm right and you're wrong, then you can't fix the problem, because you're not focused on the problem. You're focusing on winning the argument or proving yourself to be the right one. And
if you get that response, that's the person that does not want to take responsibility.
Right, right.
They don't want to take the responsibility. They don't want to take the time to either obligate themselves to the relationship to make it a healthy, flowing relationship.
Right.
So one cannot communicate with.
Yes.
There's no communication because the trust bar has been broken.
Right, right. In order to restore the trust, each person has to take responsibility for their own situation.
And
taking
responsibility.
Right.
No way. No. How can you dissect the situation when you don't have an open view and an open, opportunity to weigh the whole system? You cannot have balance. If that person thinks that you're the person that's causing the imbalance,
yeah, you're the problem. As soon as you admit you're wrong, then we'll be okay.
I'll be the problem. I'm gonna be the bigger person. I'm gonna be the bigger person to say I'm going to walk away from this situation until you are ready to look at it from another point of view.
Right.
And if that time comes, then so be it. If it doesn't, just know that I said I wanted to come on middle ground.
Right.
But you got to meet me halfway. No,
right.
You're about to blame me for everything.
Right.
I cannot allow you because you.
Right.
No, if you want to abuse me, if you want to keep telling me what I'm doing wrong, but then you don't want to hear what you're doing wrong.
Right. Right.
No. We ain't made up. No.
Right. And you remain at that impasse until both parties decide they want to actually address
the problem. You'll see where the value is. Trust and believe.
Yeah.
You will see who the value is, where the value is in relationship. Because if that person doesn't have a maturity within themselves to come and say, you know what, I know it's not all your fault and my fault.
Right.
Can I value the relationship to come back and discuss this with you?
Right. And that's the key. Do you value the relationship enough to actually, as you say, choose to look at it differently.
Then that's something you have to accept.
Then you realize, okay, well, this relationship needs to end because it can only remain in its state of toxicity in the way it is now. So,
and sometimes it needs time. It needs time to breathe.
Sometimes.
You know the old saying, right? The old saying is absence makes the heart grow fonder, separation bring appreciation.
Absolutely. Well, we got to take a break, and then we got a caller on the line. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we will gladly come to you and open your mic. So 773-487, we're coming to you next after the break. And if you are joining us on Facebook Live or want to join us on Facebook Live, simply go to Soulful Solutions, and you will see Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Facebook. And we will be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Wayo and Yah Shalom. Wayo means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom, women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs. A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, places, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325 to share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibrations. Shalom.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Talking about true identity and losing ourselves into situations, circumstances, repercussions, and consequences of people, places, and things. You know, this is such a real topic, isn't it? It's a
Absolutely.
Real topic.
It is. And most.
So you want to take that caller?
Yes, I will take this caller. Area code 773-487. Your mic is open. Welcome to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments as it relates to our topic.
Oh, okay, good morning, ladies. This is Cookie James, KUFI James on YouTube. Check out.
Good morning, Cookie James.
You can check me out and hear about an indigenous American man who have saved the people. I've saved millions of young brothers and young sisters.
So Koofy, I have a question for you. Koofy, I have a question for you. I believe you were listening to yesterday's men only just and came up regarding, of course, the topic was aversion to marriage, and I know many men in their relationship often feel either that women are supposed to just shut up and do what they're told, and I heard a couple of men mention some things about women being too aggressive, and I think you might have even made a comment about that, and so many women have been conditioned to think, well, I'm supposed to just shut up and do as I'm told. But that's not really a balanced relationship What are your thoughts about that? And maybe you can answer this question. What is it about a woman who expresses her thought or opinion that might differ from a man that brings out the anger in a man? Why would a man perceive that a woman's disagreement is a sign of disrespect to him? Maybe you can give us some insight on that.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of talk out here today about relationships and the broken family. I try to be real careful interjecting the negative side so much and try to drift people to the positive side.
That is why I asked that question, is because that's an issue that comes up, and often, especially when we look at when people are in relationships, there's, I don't know if it's a cultural belief, you know, when you speak of being part of indigenous cultures, and I know there are many indigenous cultures where there was not that suppression of the female, and some that were. But that tends to be a part of what we experience where the conflict comes. There's a belief that one party should not have a strong personality. And so as we look at losing yourself in a relationship or allowing yourself to be submerged, I have to ask a man's opinion about that, because there are men who believe that a woman's expression of independent thought is a disrespect to them, and that creates a constant conflict. So I wanted to get your opinion about that. What does a man feel when a woman says, well, no, I don't agree with you, or no, I think you're wrong, or no? I mean, why is that a point of conflict, in your opinion?
Well, when you're in a relationship, it's more than just a physical relationship. It's a spiritual relationship. So it's guided. It's like a kite is guided by the air. A relationship is guided by the spiritual words and emotions and feelings that you guys are having. Oh, you make me feel like I'm on cloud nine, as an example, okay? So if I have a woman who's constantly telling me I don't agree what you're saying, that is like a challenge to his that's a challenge to his inner being. Maybe she should not challenge him, but say, baby, let's look at it another way. Instead of challenging, I don't believe you, you say, no, let's look at it another way. It was the same thing I'm out here telling people. I've been screaming to you. I've been screaming at people, telling them, COVID is not real, y'all. COVID is not real. They put it in your mind and make it real. And people are like, I don't agree with you.
Why would you take it personally? Right. And I guess why do people take it personally if someone
They said I was coming a little bit too direct. A sister told me that. She said, sir, you're coming a little bit too direct, saying you don't believe and what somebody else might believe. I said, sister, you are so right. And so then I started saying, hey, y'all, look at it from another angle. Question the status quo. Look at it from another angle that this thing may not be real. Look at it from another angle. Look at it from a business aspect. And then I start getting that attention. So,
okay.
If a woman...
All right, we're going to take a look at what you just said
in an indigenous culture, a man sits under a woman and hears her out. He does not, even if she disagrees with him, okay, because he knows in that disagreement, there's going to be an agreement that come out of that. See, so men should not take it. You know, a man should not take a woman's disagreement and go, he's a female to me. That's not a real man. A real man says, okay, baby, come, let's talk. that, take it to another level. You know, raise the dimensional conversation. Stop being so itchy and fighting so much. You know, are you don't agree with me? What's so wrong with you? Now you're arguing about something y'all did 7 years ago. You know.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for that perspective. We appreciate
you,
because that's an issue that I think has to be understood. If someone feels challenged by your disagreement, again, it's something inside of them. Why do I think your difference of opinion is a challenge to me? Why am I seeing that as an inference that there's something of lesser value or something inferior, something lacking in me? Why am I taking it as a personal insult? And like you say, Dr. Debbie, that button is already inside of you. That belief that there's something inferior about you is already inside of you. And so when they say something, that's pushing that button of your belief about yourself. And that's why you get angry. So if, and just a thought, number, and 773-737 will come to you next, but just a thought to throw out there. If you're in a relationship where you can't have a discussion and disagree because that person gets offended and feels challenged every time you express a different opinion, then somewhere, probably way back in their childhood, they were treated as if they didn't matter, their opinions didn't matter, their feelings didn't matter, there were perhaps something lacking or inferior about them,
mm-hmm.
and that's the hurt that's still in them.
Right.
So you're expressing the opinion is a neutral thing. You're not trying to hurt anybody or insult anybody, but because of what's inside of them, planted by somebody else, probably parents or, you know, even older siblings or whatever, but because that's inside of them, they react to what you say, and they're reacting to what's already inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't fix that. You can't fix that. That's the thing. I don't know if there's another way. Kufi suggests that maybe you should say things differently, but sometimes, no matter how you say things, people
are
upset.
I wouldn't. Okay, I had to get it out there. So what I'm saying, because my mind was thinking while I was speaking, but what I'm saying is, once you acknowledge that you do have a button that is there, in other words, when your external is causing internal conflict, because that's really what's happening.
Yeah.
Your external stimuli, your world, is causing a internal conflict inside.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's acknowledgement. And then once you say, okay, I know that when people say this, I do this.
Yes.
Or when people do this, I do this. You see
yes.
what I'm saying? And then you're like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to respond that way. Okay, so that's the first thing, it's awareness. Once awareness takes its proper place, then we have to go into acknowledgement. I acknowledge I am reacting to this particular thing, the stimuli. I am reacting to that.
So I'm
acknowledging mentally that I'm not just noticing the reaction change, but now I understand that I am responding and reacting to this. I just don't see it or hear it. Something inside me is responding to it. And then that's the second move. The third one is, where is it coming from?
Mm.
Then you have to go back and look at when you responded the same way to different situations, maybe a period of time ago, where you might have heard this the first time you heard it, the first time you experienced it. And then when you notice that, it might take you all the way back. You have to sit there and think about it. And then sometimes you have to get pen and paper, because the brain doesn't always have the ability to recall a memory until you start writing.
Right.
When you start writing, you're like, okay, I remember, I responded to this when I was in sixth grade, when someone said this and that, and they did this. And this seems similar. Okay, write that down.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? So
what
you
is
can
it recalling?
Track.
Yes. where was this seed first planted?
I call
where,
it track the brokenness, because something was broken.
That's it.
Track the brokenness.
That is it.
Track the brokenness. Go back and track it. And once you track it, because now you're doing what they call self-therapy.
Right.
The therapist is the one that takes you back into those areas. But to do self-therapy, you have to go back in those areas and find what is similar to that same reaction and what was going on at that time.
Yes.
Who was involved? What year was that? What circumstances, what consequences was, you know, causing you to pay attention to it? Okay, all right, that's one. So did it happen again?
Mm.
Good chance it happened again, because it's already inside of you. You're only attracting what's inside of you. That's all you're doing.
You're attracting
what's
inside
of you. So once you find out and you connect your dots, now the next thing to do is find out how much severity it is. Is it mild?
Mm.
Is it moderate? Or is it severe?
It might be severe, you know.
And it could be. If it's severe, okay, now we have to do some soul healing. So anytime you hear that, coming from whoever, I ever hear, which is your audible, see, which is your visible, you have to do what is called cue yourself, C-U-E.
Mm.
Cue yourself. You got 45 seconds to change your view.
Right.
Because the brain can only operate on 45-second shifts.
Mm.
It cannot concentrate on a million things at a time. People think they can. We only multitask when we start something, and, you know, then we'll start something else, then we'll start something else, and we
but
finish
you're still only doing
we,
one thing at a time.
We start it, and as we begin it.
Right.
But the brain only occupies one thought at a time. So it's right there in that moment when you first feel yourself, here we go. You should have a mantra, okay?
Something that you say.
Right, like, okay, here we go
again. Change your thought.
Whatever your mantra is, and so your brain can get cues so you don't react the same way.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? Now you're catching yourself, as one would say. You're catching yourself. And then, you know, they may look like, and you're like, okay, then what's going to happen, you can use this thing called power of pause.
Yeah.
You're going to pull yourself back. You listen to whatever. You're seeing whatever, but you're pulling yourself back in the midst of it.
Right.
Within that 45 seconds. Like, okay, I'm
not reacting. And, you know, that's the thing, because when I had this encounter with the same person that we clash and it can get ugly, usually I would react with, you know, can you just hit me? I'm going to hit you back. And this time I didn't. This time I decided to stop and reflect. And then realized, and the realization came to me, we are both reacting to what's inside of us.
Right.
And I can perhaps now start the process you just described of going back to discover, where am I broken? And where did this reaction first start, that I get triggered by this person? And, of course, they would have to do the same, but sometimes the other person isn't willing.
You can't.
I got it. So
I
had to heal me. And, you know, because if their response is always, well, if you wouldn't just say things that way, or if you wouldn't just, you know, you say things wrong, you know, and if so the answer isn't necessarily, well, how do I tiptoe around and make sure I don't say things wrong? Because I can't control what's inside of them.
No,
so I have to focus on me not reacting and me realizing when I am feeling like I just got punched in the gut, you know, my response and where is that trigger coming from? Where is that pain? What is the origination of it?
Correct. So
that I can not, you know, within that 45 seconds, I can change my thoughts. You know, oh, this person is trying to hurt me. Oh, this person is trying to demean me. Oh, this person is trying to humiliate me. Instead of me going through that cycle of thought, I immediately change the thought because I realize that what is happening is I'm reacting to something inside of me.
Correct. Now, once that is established, we have to do what they call radical acceptance. I accept that part of me. I accept that responsibility. I accept that. That guess what? It's not all my fault. know why? Because when they come back to you, or anyone comes back to you in that manner, what you're going to immediately do, you're going to do about face. It's not that you're going to ignore it. You're not going to suppress it. You're going to let them know at that point, I'm sorry, this is not mine. This
yeah.
is yours.
Yeah, that's your
and
issue.
And you're going to feel good
mine.
By saying that. You're not going to feel guilty. This is
right.
yours. I choose today to not put myself in this position.
Right.
And I'm going to have to bow out. And
yeah,
if you
absolutely.
Want us to go to another level, then guess what? I need your 100% communication to do that. You
right.
know, whoever, whatever it is. Because if you don't have their 100% to come meet you halfway, then you're wasting your time and breath with that person.
Absolutely. It'll just stay in the same cycle.
Because, exactly. Because
right.
remember, you eliminate your button.
Right. Absolutely.
Eliminate
I'm eliminating mine.
No.
Yeah.
No. That's
absolutely.
Your stuff. And
absolutely.
I'm one to tell people, Naima. You know what I'm saying? When I know that that's not my stuff and they're trying to permeate that on me, I say, oh, that's your
no,
stuff.
No, that's you. That's
listen,
you absolutely.
I tell you what, me, neither you need it. How about you go find a trash can and put that in?
it's not me.
Trash can.
I am not going to be the trash
receptor. Do me, neither you, any good. Because if I take the time to keep feeding that in you and feeding that in me,
yeah.
no.
Absolutely. We've got a caller on the line here. Open your mic. We got a couple of callers here. We'll at least get to one of you before the break, and the others stay on. 773-737 Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience, and give us your thoughts today.
Well, hello and greetings, Global Transformers. This is Mama D, and I want to invite all of you to Wisdom with Mama D this Saturday, 12 to 2 p.m. Our topic is going to be ranking President Barack Obama from the greatest to the worst American presidents. And Chairman Fred Hampton Jr.
Rate him
to be one of our
greatest to the worst. You know, where'd you now, Mama D? How are you doing the ratings? Like, is it a 1 to 10 scale, or because
well,
there have been 46 presidents, so are they
well,
going about all of them?
We're just ranking him as a president.
Okay.
Was he the greatest president in your opinion? Was he the worst president, in your opinion, and based on his record? So we're only dealing with this one president.
Okay. That should be interesting. Definitely bring out some conversation.
Right. And Wallace Redd, and we also have WVON host Robert McKay, who has a focus program on WVON. So anyway, you know, it is the biblical distortion that does not recognize what happened on the sixth day when the sovereignty of Yah God changed and the language was changed, and he invited the family, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and he brings in male and female. So he created them, and guess what? He blessed them. He told them to be fruitful and multiply. He told them to have dominion over the earth, not a garden in the east. Now, taking this is the equality of the sexes. We need to get that. It's written right there. It's not something I made up. The equality of the sexes includes spirit, wisdom, and word. The Holy Spirit, mother of wisdom and comfort, is eliminated, and that is why we have war and pain. Because if we were able to freely choose, we would choose wisdom and comfort. We would not choose war and pain. So that needs to be revisited, because come let us reason together. It is not reasonable to have a daddy and a child and no mother. It's not, and then you don't even give the female the respect enough to say the Holy Spirit. We say the Holy Spirit, and put it in a separate category. We got the Father, the Son, and the, because we refuse to say her and put her on the sideline. And then this is Thursday church, and the pastor was given a sermon on Adam and Eve, and he said, he was talking about how Eve did all of this in the first wardrobe because they were clothed in skin, the birds were clothed in feathers, and the fish was clothed in scales. So he was talking about it. So I wrote him a little note. I said, well, okay, we know Eve was tricked and deceived. That's the way the story goes. I said, what was Adam's excuse? So he said, well, Adam, he said, now, if you read that portion, Adam, Eve, Lucifer calls out Eve, and he's telling Eve, and she's trying to represent, saying we are not supposed to deal with that that particular tree. We don't supposed to know about good, and we don't want supposed to know about evil either. We're just supposed to know about obedience, do what you're told. And so anyway, she's having this conversation, and so the pastor said, Adam was standing right there beside her. I said, wait a minute. You mean she's trying to represent? I said, go back. I said, before Eve was even created, Adam was told about the tree and the garden before she was even created. It's written there. But what he said was, no, Adam was right there. I said, you mean to tell me Adam was standing right there? He let her do all the talking, all the representing, all that God told us not to do. And he said, oh, yeah, that happened. And this is what I'm talking about. I said, but she was beguiled. Oh, yeah, he was standing right there. And he never opened his mouth. And he said that happened. So this is Thursday church again. I'm going to go and see if we can continue this discussion. And then I told him this. I say, you see the punishment, and your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. I said, where the Spirit of Christ is, there is liberty. So that is part of the curse. Your husband ruling over you. It's written right there. People want selective amnesia. They only want to say what their itchy ears want to hear instead of what's written in the Word. So that's what
well, Mom, you are revolutionizing the understanding of the spiritual teachings that have been so distorted these last 2,000 or more years, and we thank you for that. We got to take a break. Thank you so much. Everybody listen in this Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. And if you are anywhere else in the world, just check your time zone and listen accordingly. Wisdom with Mama D is always so powerful. We're going to take a quick break, Mama D. Again, thank you so much. Area code 407. We're coming to you next. I'm sorry, for people who are on our Facebook page, I know I keep leaning into the screen. I'm too vain to put on my glasses this morning. I'm sorry. I need to fix that. But we will be right back after this quick break, so we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us. Commercial I am looking for, and okay, put my face all the way in the screen because I cannot see, you know, and I know you all are saying, well, child, just go get your glasses. I know.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. Take advantage of the deal of the day. Go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
And I am Dr. Debbie Green with our wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, executive producer. And we are at the top of the hour.
Yes.
Losing yourself and others and finding the true self. Y'all got to find yourself.
You know, Dr. Debbie, a thought came to me as Mama D was speaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a lot of men that have issues with their mothers. Maybe their mothers were harsh. Maybe they were condemning. Maybe they were lacking affection, whatever it was. But those men are still carrying the wounds of that. So now what happens when you have a council of men, maybe a lot of them wounded by their mothers, and they're going through these scriptures, because you know there was a council that decided what was going to go in the Bible, and they threw some things out, and they kept some things, and they kind of reworded some things and got translated and retranslated and retranslated over time. So what happens if you've got a council of men wounded by their mothers, and so every passage that they read of this spiritual teaching gets distorted through their lens, and the expression ends up being this very misogynistic, woman-hating kind of a philosophy because of what's inside of them? And what if that is what's been brought forward all these centuries, affecting our relationships, our belief systems, our treatment of each other, because of hurt men who have a resentment toward women because of the hurt they experienced by the women who raised them? What is your thought on that?
Well, usually if that is a situation and there is a complex, it's called Oedipus complex. Mm. Oedipus complex.
Oedipus.
Yes. And that's like a, but it's like with women when it comes to a boy child, you
mm-hmm.
know, the mother, which is the maternal instinct
mm-hmm.
That a person is not totally transferred to that child, that boy child, for whatever reason thereof. And sometimes it occurs where the mother is not nurturing because of her inability to nurture and give love completely
right.
due to her life,
mm-hmm.
her life impactment, you know, because we impact. Remember, the true identity is always shifted and changed and broken. So she wasn't able to give that child, that boy child, the love, or she could have herself in a position where she's impacted by the father or even someone, you know, the father most likely abused the mother in front of the boy child, and when the boy child tries to rescue the mom and, you know, try to rescue her, he does not get the response that he's expecting.
I know a lot of people who've had that experience.
Right. So,
instead
of her, you know, giving him the response and showing him I love, yes, I love you for helping me. I'm in this abusive relationship with your father or with another man or whatever the case
mm-hmm.
may be.
And
I want you to, I want you to help,
wow.
you know, you help rescuing me. I'm going your direction, which is I'm removing myself
wow.
from this abusive relationship. Okay. Then it's good.
If she
does not do that, and she takes up for the other side and does not allow that, you know, to take place, and the abuse then continues to happen to her and also happen to the boy child from the same abuser, then that's when the complex thing gets really very severe.
And he's going to be angry at his mother.
In severe cases. Okay, that's severe cases. So now his perception of a woman is different.
Wow.
He does not look at a woman the same way. He doesn't
wow.
address her the same way with words. He does not acknowledge her the same way as a woman. He looks at her as a lower being.
Mm.
As a lower being.
Wow.
You know, and a lot of times, sometimes if it is so severe, sometimes they literally shift out of even being one in a monogamous or heterosexual relationship. They go into other patterns of looking at the man as being the, you know, the figure of
intimacy.
Of intimacy. Like, in other words, they succumb to it. Instead of understanding their place as a man,
wow.
they succumb to it. Well, yes, maybe a man is supposed to abuse me. Maybe he's supposed to tell me what to do, or, you know. So it takes different turns.
Wow.
So it's not just one way of how a person will end up. It's various ways.
Wow. I have seen, so we got another call. I'm going to go to our phone lines. But, you know, I've had so many friends, associates, acquaintances that have been in that very situation,
mm-hmm.
mother abused by the father or a boyfriend, he tries to intervene, she takes up for the man that's abusing him, he's destroyed, and his relationships with women are never, as you said, they're never going to be healthy because he's got that hurt, that anger, and that contempt for women inside
right.
of him.
And it's so deep, it's like a splinter in the finger, it's been there for a long
wow.
time. So all he's doing is responding to external stimuli.
Right.
If he doesn't do any introspection, if he doesn't have a self-awareness or self-monitoring, the stuff that I was explaining to you, or catching himself, he's just going to continue to, you know. And this is how domestic violence plays a very strong place. That's why we got to do this show for our listeners, Kids for Freedom International.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
getting ready to air. This is extremely important to someone that is in a position of either the batterer or the battery. You know what I'm saying? So because of these situations like this become severe, they become severe. So the thing about it is they start looking, taking different roles. The roles get confused. Role confusion and true identity gets complicated. So now my role as a human, as a not just a human being treating another human being with respect, but as a man treating a woman with dignity and respect is now lost because I saw my mother go through these same patterns. She did nothing. She allowed it to happen.
Wow.
She was abused even up until the man died.
Mm.
And I'm still dealing with that same entanglement in myself. Now, lo and behold, my relationships are all mixed up because I don't know who loves me and who doesn't, but most of all, I really don't know how to even treat women anymore.
Right, right.
Because my perception of woman is warped.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I think, okay, then I'm either going to be too manly or I'm not going to be manly at all.
Mm. Wow. Hurt people. Well, you know, it gets passed down. Well, let me go to our caller, but, you know, I wanted to throw that thought out there because I really believe that the Bible was translated by men who had severe issues against women, and that's why, as Mama D was pointing out, it's so distorted, it's so imbalanced because of what was inside of them. And we've been accepting it too much without question over the centuries, and so we're messed up because, like you just said, we're accepting the abuse and doing nothing, and then the hurt that we pass on to our children, it's hurting them and it's causing their abuse. We got a humanity that's abused, and if everybody can heal, we can fix every problem that we have. But each person got to self heal. I mean, that situation with Putin over in Russia can be healed if the people involved heal what is inside themselves.
Right.
Every problem can be solved.
Right.
Well, let me go to our phone lines and go to area code 407-701. Grand Rising, thank you so much for joining us. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Grand Rising Sisters, this is Viata in Florida, sunny Florida, 80 degrees today, not to rub it in, but it's hot here. And tomorrow morning,
you're rubbing it in. No, we're here in cold Chicago.
sending lots of love and heat because it's warm. But tomorrow, yeah.
Thank you.
Tomorrow morning, I'll be on Health and Wellbeing with Viata, and I'll be talking about anti-anxiety medications have increased. So we're going to talk about the pros and cons of and what natural medicines or herbs can help with anxiety. Tomorrow, as well as cancer. I'm going to throw in some information because cancer rates are up too. The last 2 years have just increased all kinds of diseases. So we're going to talk about what really feeds cancer and some of the things you can do to prevent it. But in terms of what you, this is an excellent, excellent conversation, and it's so deep. You women are revealing the complexity and the depth of this. I just wanted to share a personal experience that I've had with a man who's in his 70s, and you probably heard him, but I'm not going to mention his name, but he was one of the founders of Essence Magazine. And I've gotten to know this man mostly from a distance because he has extreme, what he calls tripolar episodes. And what I've discovered about, you know, walking on glass with somebody like him was impossible. You just have to love him from a distance because he was thrown into a foster care at a very young age where a woman abused him physically. And I found out how bad it was when he revealed to me while I was driving, he was in my car, and he said, you know, when I was little, somebody hit me on the head. My foster mother hit me on the head right here and left a scar. And he pointed, and I said, oh, what did you do to deserve that? The man almost attacked and killed me when I said that.
Ooh,
how dare you say it was my fault? How dare you say it was my fault? So from that point on, I was walking on glass because I realized I had triggered something in him. Pain that I really should have been more careful. But it's like you were saying, you can't walk on glass. You just love him from a distance. So recently he had a heart attack because all that pent up with frustration. And then he had another episode, I think, like the last week, where his chest pains came back. So what I'm hearing from him is he's no longer criticizing women he sees on the street that probably resemble his foster mother, because I was starting to notice an appearance. Certain women, he would just attack with criticism, mostly dark-skinned women on the street, overweight, dark-skinned women. Every time And she would come across him and, what's wrong with that bitch? Blah, 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 blah. What the hell was wrong
with
her? Oh,
my goodness.
I realized he was being triggered about so many things about that abuse in his childhood. But what I want to say finally, the heart attack he had recently and the second incident has humbled him and calmed him down. Now, I haven't met with him again because there's just too much triggering going on. But, like you said, you're not going to be able to heal other people, even with our loving kindness and trying to engage. What I found, you can engage the hell out of the conversation, but until something really traumatic, like a heart attack or something, sometimes that's what it takes from the universe to calm people down and get them to thinking about. And I've been sharing with him, you need to just go try meditating. Oh, okay, I'll try that. And then the next thing I know, he's having a fit about something. But like you were saying, I just had to heal me. I had to stop reacting to other people's behavior and find so much love and respect for everybody's journey. That's where I am. Everybody has a unique journey. I'm going to respect it, and then I got to love you from a distance if you're still being triggered, even when I send love and appreciation and, you know, kindness, and you still somehow get triggered from my love and kindness. Oh, well, see you later. Until they're able to realize that you need help and you need to work on you, and I'm going to just love you from a distance. So that's my journey that has helped me grow, because I'm not going to be walking on glass with every person I meet, but I'm going to share love with them. And if they get triggered, it's like, oh, can we have a conversation? No, we can't have a conversation. Okay, see you later. Like, okay. So anyway, thank you, ladies, so much for this show. It's been awesome listening. And have a beautiful day. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Oh, thanks for calling. Yes, listen in tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Eastern, to Health and Well-Being with Viata. Thank you so much, Viata. Mm-hmm. You know, when I think about people who won't talk about a situation, that's because I've experienced that, where, you know, you think, okay, well, let's talk about it. No, I don't want to have a talk. I don't want to talk about it, you know, or as soon as you can't get 30 seconds out before they're interrupting you. So that's a fear that you're going to touch a sore spot. They can't even talk about it. So you can't heal it. You can't fix it, because the pain is so deep they can't even – it's like a wound, you know. When it's so sore, it's so sensitive, you can't even touch it. And if you've ever had a physical wound and, you know, you don't want to go to the doctor because you don't want anybody to touch it because it's so painful, that's what some people emotionally are going through. They can't even talk about it. It's so painful. They fear any – touching of that sore spot. So I can just imagine if somebody's had abuse from childhood, had a parent hurt them, and then in their mind of a child thinking, well, did I deserve to be hurt? Did I do something? Am I unworthy of love? And that's such a painful thought. So then to have someone say it, oh, well, what did you do to deserve to be hurt? Man, that's sore spot. That's the greatest wound that they're carrying in their soul. So, yeah, they're going to flip out. So a lot of people have those kind of hurts a lot. And you don't even know what's there. I mean, so like you say, you know, you're tipping around on eggshells because you don't know what thing may trigger it. You don't know what inside of them is still in pain, still unhealed, still hurting. So anything you say might trigger it. Well, you can't even, after a while, you can't even talk to them because they're responding to what's inside of them, and you don't see it, you don't know what it is, and they won't talk about it. So you can either just, you know, say nothing and just agree to whatever they say, oh, yes, uh-huh, and not have any real conversations, or you just have to separate, like you say, love them from a distance, because you can't fix that. You can. Each person has to fix what's broken inside of them.
Correct. Yeah. It's so very important that we have to heal our broken parts.
We have to heal our broken parts.
Because no one can come and do any, no one, not I mean, no one walking this earth, let's say like that, can come in and do invisible spiritual surgery. They may take out other parts of our body, but this, the non-tangible things, nah, those things, we have to do. And it shouldn't be a stress. It shouldn't be a struggle with looking at oneself and examining. And, you know, this is something, Naima, that we need to do daily. You know, I don't think it's not something that you do it when you're upset or doing it when you think you're in a turmoil with another human being or whatever. No, you do it daily. You do it daily. You ask yourself, you know, all right, you know, am I living my best life or am I constantly being interrupted? You know, does my voice, you know, your voice matters. You are your own advocate.
Right.
So when no person doesn't want to hear your voice in some capacity, they're telling you to be quiet.
Yeah.
And shut up and sit down.
Yeah, sit up, sit down. What
no,
you think, what
no,
you feel
no,
doesn't matter.
I might have been told that when I was a child.
Yeah.
Okay? And when you know, the Word of God says, when you're a child, you think of a child, but when you become mature, when you become a man or a woman, you put away childish things. So
right.
Which means I can no longer think that way because you're telling me that my voice does not matter.
Right.
Whether it's wrong, right, or indifferent, it still matters.
Right, it still matters. So when someone treats you like your feelings don't matter, your thoughts don't matter, your opinions
Ooh.
Don't matter, they're
Ooh.
Saying you don't matter. And
nah.
Why would you accept that? Unless you fear that that is true. And then, of course, you're going to respond if there's somewhere in your life where you've been treated like you didn't matter and the pain is still there. And so you stay in that relationship with that person who keeps triggering that feeling that you don't matter. Your feelings
don't
matter.
You're just reacting the same way you reacted years ago.
Yeah.
But you realize that a lot of times we are still active in our childhood minds.
Oh, still active in our childhood minds.
Not realizing that is gone. And it's, again, it is not a victimized state. It is not something, I'm broken, I'm falling apart. No, it's just awareness. Like, okay, if I'm doing this, then I can't do this anymore.
I can't do this anymore. I
gotta
grow up.
Because
like
I'm not living my best life, and I'm allowing my external circumstance to control me, and I can't do that.
I can't do it, yeah. That's when you begin to heal.
So that's your therapy for the day.
Well, feel free to, like I say, send me the invoice. This was my therapy session.
I understand, but
yes.
it's so easy to get caught up. It's the easiest thing to get caught up in the entanglement over a period of time. And before we realize it, time is fast, bang. We said, I'm still dealing with you?
Yeah.
I mean, especially if it's a loved one, you know, like a child or something like that, then, you know, of course, you can't just cut them off.
Right.
But you have to let them know.
This relationship's not going to continue like this. No.
No, that's
not, I'm not going to engage
this. That's your stuff. That's yours.
Yes.
Oh, what do you mean it's my stuff? I'm not doing anything. That's your stuff.
Right.
Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, whether you want to accept it or not, it belongs to you. I'm sorry, it does not belong to me. I cannot allow it in nowhere inside this being. Because if I let you possibly do it,
right?
Who am I to blame?
Absolutely.
Well, goodbye to my views.
Well, this has been a powerful, it's a powerful healing session. Well, I know a lot of people, and if you're on our switchboard and had something to say and didn't get a chance to say it, well, tune back in tomorrow for Health and Well-Being with Viata. And, of course, we'll be back again next week, next Thursday, for Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie. And we're looking forward to that new series as well, because that is going to be critical for our healing.
It is.
Thank you.
Yes. Amen. This is great. Thank you for everybody that's viewing, and we're going to say goodbye to next time.
All right. See you next week.
Radio host, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain. Gracias. Italy. Grazie. Egypt. Shukran. Ghana. Merci. Nigeria. Eshe. South Africa. Ngiyabonga. Senegal. Jerez. Kenya. Asante. Israel. Toda. Pakistan. Shukriya. Afghanistan. Tashakur. Saudi Arabia. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.